It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I will be your host for the next hour. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting savant at UGASports.com, and, of course, by Jim Donnan, former head coach at the University of Georgia, College Football Hall of Fame inductee, man with all the answers, or at least the ones that he will give us. He doesn't tell us everything he knows, but he tells us most of it. So if you have questions, go ahead and submit them. If you're watching this on the 11 Alive Facebook page, that's where you submit the questions. I've had people ask me, hey, how do I get a question on the show? You have to actually be watching it live. It's on the 11 Alive Facebook page, www.facebook.com/11alivesports. It's on their sports page. Go ahead and give them a like while you're there. And you can go ahead and send in a question and do us a big favor. If you're not a member of UGASports.com, but you still watch this show.
Which, why are you not?
Yeah. At least do us the courtesy of sharing it. You know, if you're not paying your 27 cents a day, at least share the show. That, I mean, it's not too much to ask, I don't think. So,
it's real hard to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, just push the button.
Push share and hit OK, and you're done. We'll talk about our sponsors later in the show, but just to name them quickly at the beginning, we have Athens Ford, great place to get a car. Aaron Overhead Doors, great place to fix the place where you keep your car. Europe High, I'll tell you about the pizza I had Friday. That was fantastic. Academia Brewing Company, we're actually getting a couple beers brought to the table from Academia because it's the best part of our day. Of course, Cable East, Robert Wall out in Statham, and 365 Game Day. So if you need your gear, you can now go buy your SCC East champion, back-to-back champion T-shirts over at 365 Game Day. They have a nice selection. Speaking of, Coach Georgia goes into Lexington, Kentucky, takes care of business. You called it in the first 4 minutes of last week's show that you were not worried about this game. You thought that you pretty much guaranteed Georgia would win. Georgia led. I mean, it was to me, the game was never really in question. I mean,
no,
you had that punt return by Miko Hardman, and they punched it in. The crowd got quiet. And, I mean, at one point, Georgia's up 28-3.
Yeah, first of all, I want to congratulate Coach Smart, the staff, and the players just for significant achievement to win the SEC East twice in a row in only 3 years.
I thought they were a blind squirrel, only did that.
Yeah, well, it depends on whether you know where you get those.
They got some glasses, I think.
So anyhow, I do feel like, in all seriousness, taking care of business is one thing, but doing it with the way we've dominated the East. If you just look at the Eastern opponents over the last 2 years, the closest game we've had has been 14 points against an Eastern team, so pretty significant to do that. And in celebration of that, we got some tamales today from Josh, which automatically go all the way down to the left.
Bring these down here. It's tamale season, folks.
Well, you deserve them. I told them if we got the East, we could get the tamales. But getting back to that. You know, I thought our preparation last week was just outstanding, and the reason I bring that out to our people on our site here and the people that are watching is, you know, your preparation is always important, but I felt like our team got significant confidence last week stopping the running game by what we practice against. Are we losing volume here or something?
No, we're good.
All right, just don't mess me up during the middle of my talk. I'm trying to really bear down. We got technical difficulties here. You know, there's nothing worse than have some thought and then be an old guy and not remember it. But my point is that you know, the way we practice, which I know a lot of teams do it, but the challenge for us last week, no question, was stopping the run. You know, going into the game, you know, with a guy like Benny Snell, and offensively generating enough power against a team that led the nation in scoring defense.
Yes.
So that kind of worked together because we were able to challenge our offensive line and give our defense a lot of reps going against a good running game, blocking, and helped our offense going against a defense that's, you know, pretty physical like ours. But, you know, in my mind, that game should have been 60-7. I mean, it wasn't even close. We missed two tremendous chances there with the high snap and then the fumble. I mean, that's 14 or 6 points any way you look at it, minimum. And then, you know, one overthrow on the ball to Holloman on a great call on when we were running the clock out. But you can't ever get mad
and
about
it. And the goal line stands. Yeah. I mean, he left 4 points on the field then, too.
Yeah, well, that's true. But any way you look at it, and I'll analyze that one, that's not near as bad as what happened last week in my mind. But I think the big thing for us, though, is just the confidence level for these young players to know, first of all, that they can go in and contribute, but also the older guys knowing that these younger guys have developed. So if somebody goes down, i.e. Walker gets hurt, here comes Cox and Anderson, if then Hill goes in for, you know, ostensibly one of the best players in the country at center. And just the way that everybody has played together and next man up, and that was really impressive. And I think the only way I'm going to toot my horn today about saying anything, I told you last spring, watch out for number 55.
You did. You said it before anybody else.
I told you that, and that's about the only thing I've ever said that was worth anything. But look at that guy. I mean, he's got a nasty streak in him on top of everything. And, you know, occasionally, who cares? You got a bad snap, so that's going to happen. I mean, but that guy, I'm just telling you. And now all of a sudden, hopefully Ben Cleveland's coming back. Cade's going to be all right. Our offensive line's got some massive depth on it. And how about 71? Come on now. I mean, if you're going to play a game, you might as well play a perfect game. And he was dominant.
Yes.
You look at those knockdowns, you look at his routine, and when we run to the left, it's say goodnight, Gracie. I mean, we can make some things happen on it. So with all that in mind, give them a lot of love, give them everything we can. And, you know we got a big one coming up this week. We're going against the athletic team that kind of scares you a little bit because of their potential. But at the same time, hey, that's why you come to Georgia playing the big games, and this is a big game, just like the Tech game will be in 2 weeks.
I got to ask you, Coach, you mentioned Trey Hill. You mentioned some of these young guys getting involved. How impressive has this 2017 or 2018 signing class been, in your opinion? I mean, the contributions they've made right out of the gate.
Well, you're just looking from top to bottom. And, of course, we're maybe holding a couple of these guys out, but everybody's been called on. Can you imagine where we'd be without Tyson Campbell? Just go down through all these guys. But all of a sudden now Tyndall comes in there. That was a massive play he made on the goal line to run right through Benny Snell like that. And it was a good job by our coaches using situational players right now around their defense where, guy might not know everything, but you put him in there and he's quick off the ball and he's powerful and, just say, sick him, go get it, and he did it. And then just that class is just typical of why guys rank 5 stars. You know, I mean, all these guys are showing how they can play. And Campbell's had some times where he's gotten beaten, that's for sure. But same time, he made some good plays too. So I just feel – and one person we've talked about bagged a little bit, the first punt of the game, Camargia hits a 56-yarder that they can't return, and that flipped the field around too. So I was happy to see that. That was outstanding.
Well, he only had one punt, like you said, 56-yarder, fantastic. And the fact that Georgia only punted once is quite impressive. I give all that credit to the offensive line. I thought the backs had their best game of the season. Not only did DeAndre Swift look better than he has to date.
Fully back. Like I said.
Elijah Holyfield just running people over. Kirby was asked after the game, how do they complement each other? He says, well, I don't see a big difference. I do.
Oh, absolutely.
A huge difference. I mean, one guy is going to – if you, in the fourth quarter, are not pulling back a little bit from hitting Elijah Holyfield as a defender, then you are inhuman because you have not learned your lesson yet.
Learn some self-preservation.
Yes. And then if you can't catch DeAndre Swift, because on that touchdown, the 20-yarder, he made 2 cuts and left both guys looking stupid.
Yeah, there's some guys over in the 10 after that play with broken ankles. I mean, he just set them up and made the move.
Yeah.
But I think it's significant to – one of the reasons hopefully people listen to the show is talk about Coach Hankton and our wide receivers. And Kirby talks about blocking and all. But I thought that just the little move that we made blocking on the perimeter, and really a perimeter block, if I'm the wide receiver, I have an MDM type deal, the most dangerous man. So it could be the safety or it could be the corner, depending on the support pattern. If a guy's coming up in an angle as a safety, there's no reason for you to push off on a corner and let that guy come up and make the tackle. And that's why some people come off the edge and make tackles. But two different times on big runs, Holloman came in, saw that the corner was backing up and clipped in there and just brushed the safety, which made it great. And that's something you learn as a receiver, MDM, block the most dangerous man. And a lot of times people will try to mess you up and move the corner back and then let him fire in. But, you know, our guys work really hard on technique, blocking angles, everything at the line of scrimmage, but also our wide receivers. And the other thing, Coach Cheney and Coach Stone, Jesse Stone works with the tight end. They've really worked hard with our tight ends on technique. And, you know, everybody said, hey, throw the ball to them and all. But both these guys had big games blocking. We were in a lot of what we call bison or 12 personnel, two tight ends, which is really tough on a defense because which is a strong side. And you saw those big runs we made. That's where both point. Those guys locked in and made the blocks. And so that's all a good plan. And then defensively, we hadn't even got to that, but our tackling in the open field was tremendous. We put enough heat on the quarterback with some sacks in critical situations and just had a really good game plan there with, you know, loading up the box and making that Wilson guy beat us throwing.
I don't want to sound redundant, but I do want to give a shout-out to the offensive line because you have two guys go down. You know, you lose Lamont Galliard first drive. You bring in Trey Hill, giant thighs.
Thunder thighs.
Thunder thighs. And he played a very strong game. There were, you know, Trent Smallwood pointed out the number of yards that were got on either side of that A-gap. Like you said, Coach, he's just nasty. Jake was telling me about Trey Hill in high school saying, you got to see this kid, you got to see this kid. And
can you imagine remember, he was at Auburn now?
And then Kirby, I want to point out that after the press conference, I mean during the press conference after the game,
move your mic up a little bit,
sorry.
Will you?
Kirby Smart actually
I'm
said
– I'm a stage manager, too.
Kirby Smart actually said that we thought about Trey Hill as a starter in the spring and fall. You know, we actually bandied that around. That's how well he was performing in practice that he got out there. So when he went out there, and I actually – it looked like he was over – because they were pointing out, you know, making the designations, calls at the line of scrimmage. And I saw Andrew Thomas pointing this way and him pointing that way. When Hill got out there, he had no hesitation making the calls. Now, I don't know if they're right or not. That's not, you know, I couldn't tell. But it did not look like a freshman out there. And then Cade Mays goes down, and, oh, I don't know, you bring in Kendall Baker. That's shout out to Georgia's offensive line for losing two starters with a third already out, you know, in Big Ben Cleveland.
Kept attitude.
Kendall came out there knocking people down, and I was very impressed with Georgia's offensive line, defensive line. You know, I was mentioning the backs, but I think that game was won from the initial snap when your defensive line said, look, you're not going to run on us, Snell. And Snell didn't have that good a game. I mean, they only rushed for 86 yards.
They had lost yardage plays. Yeah, I hate that stat, don't you? I mean, I think we should do it like the pros. If you get sacked, it comes off your passing yardage.
Yeah.
That's the chicken manure stat.
Well, not
our game, but I'm just talking
about overall. I know exactly what you mean.
You know, you snap the ball over a guy's head and you lose 12 yards. I mean, that's 12 yards off your rushing stats. I mean, yeah. Or you get sacked.
You can see, I'll give you the gross and net when you look at the net. But Georgia won on the offensive line, defensive line. I thought that the defensive line got pressure. They had contain. There were no gaps to run through. Every time Benny Snell went up the middle, there was just nothing there. And to your point about the open field tackling, if you look at the passes they completed, there were very few yards after contact. And I think that was the difference between the LSU game and the Florida game and the this Kentucky game. So few yards after contact. Good tackling. I know it sounds boring, but to point out, good blocking by the offensive line.
It's a key. And the other thing is, we're right up in the top in the country in plays 15 yards or more. We've given up very few of those.
Yeah.
Some of them really have come on interference plays. You know, they don't put those in there. But The fact that we don't give up anything easy, and that's what really chaps you about LSU, about four of their long plays where we just didn't get lined up right. And
yeah.
So the other thing that I want to give a shout-out to is coaching, though. I thought the in-game adjustments that our offense made, the way they blocked the perimeter, the way we just kept the ball away from them, and then defensively with Coach Tucker using some different personnel schemes on different downs and distance, I thought it was just well orchestrated. And then Coach found, boy, I mean, our guys – That was great by Miko, but we blocked some guys on that return, and that's all coaching too, where to be and what to do with it.
I called that, by the way.
You are good about that. You're
No, I didn't call
Karnak.
While we were sitting on the field, I turned to the photographer next to me, and I said, I bet you $10 Miko Hardman returns this for a touchdown, and the what would have been, because he's running towards me, the left corner of the end zone.
Did you get your 10?
No,
he didn't score.
I should have paid
also,
him.
You also bragged about me calling that report. Whatever you got, 5-4-3 or something.
Yeah, 3-2-1. We did predict that. We mentioned the kicking game. Miko would tear one off. But the reason was where I was sitting. They moved me right before the kick because the TV camera's like, oh, you're in the way. So I was sitting behind the big goalpost. You know, they have the big cushion around it, yeah, so guys don't run into it. And when I turned my camera on, I couldn't see that corner. And I knew what would happen. He'd return it into the corner where I couldn't see. So I bet the guy next to me, and he almost did. It's just,
why do you do the gallery and everything and have so many pictures of women in there and stuff?
I mean, I don't know, Coach. I tried to give you the sights and sounds of the university.
Yeah.
If you've been to Kentucky, yeah, you had some pretty women in there.
No, I got to give – we've talked a lot about, I think, today the coaching and that aspect of it, the in-game adjustments. I tweeted on Saturday, and this is no big revelation. I'm not the first person to say it by any stretch of the imagination. I won't be the last. The job Sam Pittman has done on the recruiting trail and getting these guys to just plug in. There was a time, and I was thinking about this while watching the game on Saturday. There was a time when even Georgia's front line of guys, you still had questions about the starting five.
Yeah.
Now, it's just plug and play. It's just go. One guy goes out, used to that was a panic situation for a lot of fans. Oh my God, we're down this guy. We're down this guy. Now, you don't even really think about it, and that's a huge, huge change.
Imagine losing Isaiah Wynn 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, and there were points. I remember Kirby's first year. He basically, that spring, he said, we have one offensive lineman.
Yep.
You know, and I think he was talking about Wynn or somebody. And, you know, part of that is a kick in the pants to the other guys to step it up a notch. But he was nervous, you know. And to your point, I remember many times thinking, how many of these guys could play at Alabama?
Right.
How many of these guys are going to make it to the NFL? And right now, Alabama would love to have some of these guys.
Sure.
A lot of these guys are going to be in the NFL. And the fact that you could lose three starters. And remember, Andrew Thomas has gone down, and he's been replaced. But to think the fact that you have had, three starters go up, four starters? I mean, Kinley went down.
You're right.
So you had everybody go down but Isaiah Wilson. And I do want to give Isaiah Wilson credit.
Iron Man.
Where no one's talking about him. Just like Andrew Thomas last year at right tackle, no one's talking about him. Not only did –
very solid.
He is very solid. To think this is – you know, the first year he's playing, he kept Josh Allen bottled up. And when Josh Allen flipped sides and went against Andrew Thomas. Andrew Thomas, for folks that didn't know, was named SEC Offensive Lineman of the Week. Well deserved, graded out 87%. That's unheard of.
I wonder who the defensive lineman was a week. 92 for Alabama.
Exactly. So, big shout out to Andrew Thomas for that. But again, I think that's the only position Kendall Baker hasn't had to come in and spell.
Yeah.
Or maybe as when Georgia was beating somebody out, he might have come in and played it. But I want to give a shout-out to Kendall Baker and Isaiah Wilson for the work that they've put in.
Such a testament to the recruiting as well. I mean, the guys that you're seeing contribute are the guys that you expected would contribute.
Sam Pittman, MVP of the year.
their player evaluations on these high school players are stellar, and they're really coming to fruition.
Exactly. And the thing about it is offensive line is the toughest place to play early, in my opinion, just because of all the things you see, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very difficult. And also corner is not as tough because you're out there on an island. But we got a lot of freshmen that are really making significant contributions, and we've got, you know, what happens there is it makes those older guys work that, and some of the older guys that might have, you know, kind of been on cruise control have developed and are playing better. You know, not saying that any of these guys, but look at the way Mark Webb is playing. He's really gotten a lot better as a position change, doing a good job.
Tariq McGee's come up big.
Unsung hero McGee actually got rated higher than anybody by that Pro Football Focus as far as plays last week. And then, I think Monty Wright's finally starting to get over that knee injury and making some routine plays that maybe just because of a little injury in his knee he wasn't quite as good at. But, hey, we just can't get overboard here about some things so great. But, you know, everybody asks me, what's wrong with the goal line? What are you doing on that?
Yeah, let's discuss the goal line.
But
coach,
I'm just going to say that we made some issues last week, and we talked about blocking the backside in. And, you know, that's where it helped Florida a whole lot. And Florida was bragging about that so much last week that they forgot to play pass defense against the Missouri Tigers. Hey, I'm going to tell you what a lock is. It's Drew Locke against Florida secondary the last 2 years.
I mean, oh, yes.
He's completely gashed them. But getting back to that play, we got a deal where, you know, we do a quarterback sneak, and then we got a fastball quarterback sneak where if you think the defense isn't lined up, you'll just say whatever the call is, and we'll line up and sneak it. And that's what we did on the one that Jake didn't make, and it didn't work, and it looks bad because they reacted to it and got lined up and stopped us. So it was more of a instinctive call to try to get them unlined, you know, and it didn't work good. And for the rest of the day, though, we made short yards. We made a lot of third down passes. And I'm sure that it's going to be a stickling point, and we'll keep working on it. But, you know, that was a bad-looking play, and it didn't go like it would, just like the play that Jake and Swift fumbled there right before the half. You know, you never know what the play was there as far as was it a read, was it a handoff. But those are routine plays that we usually make that we didn't. So that fastball sneak didn't work. So, hey, I'm not concerned about that near as much as I am that D-line that we're getting ready to go against from this Auburn team.
Let me ask,
easily the best D-line we've played.
Let me ask you this, though. One of the crystal clear moments of the season that I think that everybody will point back to was Kirby going off on the headset after that.
He was just wanting to know, said, hey, Jim, when we go to Champions next week, are you going to get tamales or are you going to get chicken?
And he gave the wrong answer.
Such a liar.
Such
a liar.
Did you feel that in your soul, though? I mean, not that you can read lips, but do you remember what that felt like?
I'm sure you've done that once or twice.
Kirby, I think it was more not the play, but the situational personnel we had. Maybe it didn't look – because you saw up in the stands, up in the press box, Coach Chaney's giving that, what's going on type deal. It looked like our personnel wasn't significant for what we tried to do. And those things happen. But as a coach, though, you want to make sure that everybody knows that, hey, we can't put up with that. But realistically, for us to go in there and rush for that many yards and just tattoo them like that, that was probably about the only really bad – that and that fumble when Fromm and Swift fumbled. I mean, I really can't – find a whole lot else to get on about, and that's why
you left 20 points on the field.
Yeah, you did, but you still beat the dog.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, you doubled them up, and you basically gave them that last touchdown. Yeah. So
it was how about that immaculate reception they made? That was an unbelievable.
Oh, that was a heck of a the tip ball,
Franco Harris type deal.
Well, I want to give a quick shout-out to Athens Ford for sponsoring our show and sponsoring the website. If you were reading any of the daily practice reports, you know, and, I mean, those things get, you know, tens of thousands of views each week, that Anthony Dasher and Patrick Garbin go to practice every day, and the parts that we're allowed to see. Notably, yesterday, we're not allowed to take pictures yesterday at practice. So
that's become a new thing.
That has. First they got rid of video. Now it's no photos. So that's no explanation there. But if you get a chance, swing out by Athens Ford. If you are a first responder.
Why would you want to let Gus Malzahn see a picture of a guy?
Yeah. I mean, because it's not like they're on television or anything.
That's the only thing I don't like about this show, the way you get on my boy Kirby for closing practice and doing all that.
Yeah, when they're at a private.
It worked pretty good last week when he closed Wednesday practice, didn't it?
It didn't really help on the goal line, though, did it?
No. Wow. Wow.
I'm blaming this. Anyway, if you're a first responder, you get $1,000 bonus cash off of all the other specials I have out there. So, again, Athens Ford, very patriotic folks on today, Election Day. So if you get a chance, swing out there. I took my Ford Explorer up through Asheville. I did not go through Pigeon Forge as an homage to Jake Roos. Even though he couldn't make the trip, he was ill. Last time we took him through there, I think I made him a little nervous. But I will say, going through 40 and all the switchbacks and all the mounds and all the speed, I had the best-looking car and handled fantastic. On all, I mean, 40 through those mountains, it's insane. It's a beautiful drive. And that even the 2016 Ford Explorer did fantastic. Now, the 2018 Ford Explorer, you can get it for $9,500 off. We're in November. There's a lot of 2019s out at Athens Ford. The only place where you can get a vehicle with a lifetime powertrain warranty. You can even get a used vehicle with a lifetime powertrain warranty as long as it's under 80,000 miles. So I'm telling you, if you want to go out and get what I have, a Ford Explorer XLT 202A, you can get it for $9,500 off.
If you only good through the end of the month as well.
Yeah.
So make sure
offer
you get out there.
Offer expires at the end of November. If you want to get a 2018 Ford F-150, I saw a bunch of those with all the Georgia flags on the way up there. I even passed a few. Although those things will fly. I'll tell you this, but I was moving. I'm glad I didn't get a ticket. $14,500 off the Ford F-150 XLT. If you want something smaller, you can get the Ford Escape for $18,995. That's $7,740 off. So, again, the Ford Escape, gets you called their midsize SUV. Fantastic vehicle. My wife and I were kind of torn between the Explorer and the Escape. But you get a brand-new 2018 Ford Escape for $19,000, basically. So, if you're not going to Athens Ford to get your new or pre-owned vehicle, you're an idiot. I'm just saying you're a
they should,
you're a tech fan. I'm just saying
they should change the slogan.
Yeah, well, I mean,
if you're not coming here, you're an idiot.
Yeah, you are, because we've had people go out there. They talk about what the sales experience is like. They rave about it, and I have people that go out there. They're like, I hate car dealerships. I hate salesmen and stuff like that. When you go out there, it's the zero pressure. Those folks are out there to help you. Yes, they get paid on commission, I'm sure, somehow, but you would never know it. And if you I've had those guys. They worked for me to get me to find me the best vehicle they could. So big shout out to them. Going back to what you were just talking about, Coach, with the Auburn defensive line coming in, I don't understand what's going on with Auburn because that team is loaded. They have a lot of very talented players. Jake and I have been covering the recruiting. They have picked up more than their fair share, if you will, of talent. But they're 3-3 in the SEC.
Here's the thing with
this
team.
So what's going on?
You know, you go back to the season opener, a big win over Washington over there in that Chick-fil-A kickoff game, and I thought things were really rolling
for
them. But you look at some of the guys they lost. You know, Kieran Johnson having a big year in the pros, just like, you know, our backs would be doing if Sony was well. And I think that's the number one issue on their offense. They don't have any kind of running game they can hang their hat on.
Gotcha.
Gus has always been good when they have a power running game and a good running quarterback. Stidham can run okay, but he's a passer first. And really their running game is based off screens. They throw all these flare screens, bubble screens, everything you can do, and then they throw the ball deep. They got a lot of speed on the perimeter, and they really attack – offensive line. They lost some good offensive linemen to graduation, and they've had a couple injuries too, and they haven't plugged in their line like we have. Defensively, they got the defensive front, but hadn't had the really good rusher off the edge, you know, the dominator for loss of yardage. And their secondary has had some problems stopping the pass. I mean, and the reason is everybody throws on them because it's hard to run on them. So
yeah.
Kicking game, he lost Carlson, you know, got his brother in there kicking, and they've been okay there. But I just think that was a significant win for him last week because now instead of looking down the barrel, hey, we got to play Georgia and Alabama, we've already lost four games, you know, are we going to be 6-6? You know, 7-5 looks a lot better, 8-4, if they can knock one of us off, would be really good. So I just – you know, you never know about this Auburn game. I go back to when I was coaching. Hey, we had it all rolling after beating Florida, and then all we had to do is beat Auburn. We were all set, and we came in there and laid an egg. Couldn't stop them at all. You know, Craig had an unbelievable game. We scored some points, but it's just a series where you just can't, you know, all these kids know each other. It's one of these games, and I talk about all the time on this show, it's this year, forget about all the past, but it's hard for me to forget about all the different games at Auburn where the best team didn't win.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to be careful about in a game like this. And that's why I'm glad we got a coach that really – they coach the same way every week after a win or a loss. I mean, they drive this team and they make them better. And we just got to understand that we can't give up a lot of big plays to this team because that's how they're going to score. They're not going to drive the ball on you. They don't show you that ability. They hit long plays or they punt. That's just about the way it goes for them. And then defensively, you know, we're not going to run up and down the field on them, but I think our receivers can have a field day against these guys and Nauta and those guys underneath too.
I think you make a good point, though, too, Roddy, about talking about, you know, this team talent-wise is, I think, far better than the record shows. I think that this is a team that can compete with anybody in the nation from a talent perspective. They've done an incredible job on the recruiting trail. Their front seven is about as good as you're going to find anywhere. If they come out and punch you in the mouth kind of early in this game, that shouldn't come as a surprise.
I'd take all those guys.
Exactly. Well,
yeah, you do that comparison.
Georgia would have taken several of them as well.
They offered them.
Marlon Davidson, Big Cat Bryant. You've got Daquan Newkirk was a guy they were after. Zacoby McClain, they didn't really recruit as much, but Montavious Atkinson was a late offer for Georgia. Chandler Wooten was a guy that they poked around at a little bit. Jamie and Sherwood they offered. Christian Tutt. I mean, it's just on and on and on. This is not a talent bereft team. So this is still a dangerous game.
Yeah, they're always going to have players, right? They're always going to have players.
And they're wide receivers. That's got to be the fastest wide receiver corps in the nation.
A lot of speed.
It's so good.
And that one guy challenged though Tyreek Hill to a race, didn't he?
And it's Anthony Schwartz, and he could.
When are they going to run?
He could do it, man.
And speaking of speed, this is why you listen to this show. Hey, next week you're going to have the fastest receiver in the country coming in from UMass. This guy who's caught a lot of passes already, and he's supposedly going to run the fastest time at the combine. Now it's not like they're going to really threaten us that much, but it's going to be nice to see what that guy does. I mean, you wouldn't have known that thing.
I did not know that,
but
I didn't know the UMass.
I do know, and I'm not going to tell you who the guy is, but one of Auburn's players was in severe academic situation last week and was getting ready to maybe not be eligible for that game against Texas A&M. And Coach Malzahn went to see the professor and said, "Can't you just do something to get him eligible?" And he said, "Okay." He said, "This is a religion class. I'm just going to ask him one question." And he said, "Okay." He said to the kid, "You know, do you know who brought down the walls of Jericho?" And before he could say anything, Gus said, "Hey, we'll pay for everything. We'll pay for it all." So they took care of that for him, and he's playing.
I'm not going to say which player that was, but I think we might know. Who's the other kid besides Anthony Schwartz, the speedster out of Florida?
Oh, Sean Shivers.
Sean Shivers. Not the biggest guy you've ever seen.
No, he's about – he goes about 5'7", but, man, he came – he blazed it over here.
He killed it when he came to Georgia. He was fun to watch. So, and I remember – actually, I did an interview with him early in his recruitments. I mean, maybe 9th or 10th grade. Not probably 9th grade.
Yeah.
And he was all about Georgia.
Yeah, he was.
He looks a lot like Crumpton on the hoof, right?
Yeah, he – yes. Yeah. Yep. Andy Isabella from Dave McMahon.
That's
your UMass receiver. 77 receptions on the year, 1,394 yards, 11 touchdowns.
Holy
crap. And he's had four touchdowns called back.
Wow.
Why, because it's too fast?
No, because UMass didn't pay for the stadium when they were going to rent it. I tell you, they got a good coach. That Whipple guy's a good coach, and I had them for a game about 3 years ago when they were playing the Conference USA team, and he does a really good job. They almost beat Tennessee last year.
I want to see Schwartz lined up on Tyson Campbell. Because remember, Tyson Campbell, Schwartz, and Shivers all ran in the same final of the Florida State Track Championship in the 100. And I think it was
Schwartz,
Shivers, then Campbell. But all three of them had
sub-10-4.
Sub-10-4 times, which is all of them would have won state titles in Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, Florida speed is nothing to joke about, folks. It's moving. But to think those guys
were – Speaking of that, how are we doing with Stevenson?
Tariq Stevenson. Good question. We got a lot of recruiting questions today, actually.
Let's hit up some questions. And well, actually, before you do that, I want to give a quick shout-out to Your Pie. I went out there Friday and had their new Voodoo Pie. Let me explain this thing to you. It's a it's, you know, when you walk into any Your Pie, they tell you what, ask you what kind of dough you want. You want white, wheat, gluten-free. And I asked for the white. Then they covered a little extra virgin olive oil. Then they put some mozzarella and feta cheese on it. Nice little touch with the feta. You know, being a Mediterranean guy, I like the feta. Then they added green bell peppers, red onions, roasted corn, and andouille sausage.
See, that roasted corn is an interesting addition on a pizza.
It's fabulous. It's a great touch. Because they used to do that on the Thai pie that they made. And so you get the roasted corn on there. And they'll, again,
how can
if
you,
you
turn,
if you don't want any of this stuff,
that, how can you turn that down?
Well, I'm not even done yet. So after,
did you have two or three?
Hush, coach. Maybe two. After they've cooked it, they bring it back out. Then they top it with some little cilantro. And they have a spicy ranch drizzle they put across it. And Zapp's Voodoo Chips. And, Zapp's, the potato chip company out of New Orleans. Best potato chips you can get. And they sprinkle them on top after it's cooked. So it's not like they put it in there and they get all soggy, anything like that. And this thing is just a mountain of heaven. It's just, it's awesome. So if you get a chance, swing
and
by.
You had to drive on top of that after you ate that?
Well, yeah. I mean,
I will say, on Saturday, I was not feeling well. Obviously, I missed the game. But I did get out of the house once.
And where did you go?
Well, I went.
Champions, of course.
I got out of the house once. I went to two places.
Okay.
I went to Your Pie and Champy's on Saturday. I got some chicken tenders and got a couple of pies and some cheese sticks. And
I'm just saying.
That made me feel all the better. Yeah. So,
hey, that Voodoo Pie, these guys are walking, talking. they what they do is right. They know where to go for the groceries.
We do. Speaking of, first place I went when I got to Lexington was Bourbon in Toulouse. To get a chance, and you're in Lexington, Kentucky, let's describe it. It's kind of a dive. It's a small little place, you know, but I had the best gumbo I've ever eaten in my life.
Some of the best Creole food I've ever had, and we just got back from New Orleans.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I had better gumbo in Lexington, Kentucky than I did in New Orleans. And if Georgia winds up in the Sugar Bowl, I doubt if we go back we can get better gumbo than that. So, no, they didn't pay for an ad. I'm just saying give quick shout-out to the folks at Bourbon Toulouse took care of me. A lot of Georgia fans made that trip. They were there.
Yeah, I was impressed
in droves. And I felt bad. You know, the Kentucky wanted everybody to hold up these little signs, these little placards that would spell out Kentucky. But there were so many Georgia fans in the case section. It looked like Inucky. I kind of felt bad. I'm like, hey, maybe y'all need to rethink this thing because, the Georgia fans aren't going to help you here.
All right. Let's hop into a few of these questions. We do have some recruiting stuff, but I want to get to this one because Ronnie Brown asked a really good question for Coach here. He says, it was nice to hear Coach Stoops give credit to Coach Chaney and how difficult it is to defend that offense in Pittman's blocking scheme. What part of Georgia's run game / scheme makes it so difficult to defend?
I think just the fact that you got so many different groupings. We've talked about that on the show several times about, you know, everybody's got the base formation where you have two wide receivers, a tight end, and two backs. And then you can go to different ways to do things. You know, put Nauta in there along with Werner and take a back out or take a receiver out and put another back in and get two backs. Whatever it might be, you've got to play the formations, but you also got to play the different things that we do. We used Stanley on one play the other day, and what a great run that was. A great use of his speed, one of the fastest guys in the program, and who would have thought you'd use a guy like that on that situation? I mean, he's never run it this year, have they?
He is not, but we pointed out in the fall that when Georgia was practicing, I guess with speed sweep, you know, that he was always the first guy to take that snap. Then it was followed by Keel Crumpton and then Mecole Hardman. So,
and Robertson, too.
Robertson has run. He actually ran that in the first game. So when we're talking about the fast guys, I was about to jump in there and give a shout-out to Jason Stanley, a senior who has blocked his pants off. He is the epitome of a team player, a guy who hasn't got a lot of balls thrown his way, but has never not come off the field covered in dirt, blood, sweat. I mean, he fights for Georgia. And I was very glad that when you had to pick the guy to give that speed sweep to, they gave it to him. Because think about everyone, when he gets on the field, they're thinking he's a blocker.
Right.
You know, and
so that was a deceptive play. But getting back to the answer, is just the fact that multitude of formation, multitude of different types of action to throw the ball, and just puts a pressure on you all the time, you know, on all the areas of the field, you know, throwing it deep, throwing it short, screens, all those things. And just got a lot of different things in the library that you can call on to use. So I think it was just a respectful thing from a Stoops standpoint. And really, when you look at, except for the game 2 years ago up there where we kicked the field goal on the last play of the game, we've kind of handled Stoops since he's been at Kentucky, and he's a defensive guy, that's for sure. And he has a lot of respect for what the offense makes you do.
Clint Walker here with an interesting question after last week's performances. He says, "How close do you think Otis Reese, Channing Tindall, and Adam Anderson are to playing big minutes?"
Well, I'd have to say that we saw a lot more Otis Reese this time.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Channing Tindall come in, as Coach said, in situational, which also
– he did end up getting the start, didn't he, Reese? He was slated.
Yeah, here's the thing.
When I looked out there, I didn't see him.
Okay.
Well, it depends on who the personnel is.
We've talked about
on this show, and you go ahead and answer this, but I'm going to set you up, about the star position. You know, who's going to play the star? Well, it has a lot to do with what their formations are. But that's a place where you can maybe take a linebacker out, which would be a defensive end, whether it's Walker, Grant, or somebody like that, and you put in a safety. And if it's a passing team, it might be Tyreek McGee. But as a running team, we put in last week, because of the way they could run the ball, a physical-type guy like Reese in that position there on the line of scrimmage, or 2 or 3 yards off on the slot receiver type, or on a tight end type deal. And he really is an athletic, physical guy. You know, he looks like Ed, you know, the guy that played for Miami and played for the Ravens. Just unbelievable safety.
Ed Reed.
So that was a good move. And then go ahead and talk about this.
I was thinking Otis Reese got in there. Then we saw when DeAndre Walker went down, Brenton Cox. Now, granted, Brenton's played a lot, so maybe he's not part of the question there, but that's a guy who has played himself into by making the right – because I saw two different plays where he made the right assignment, right call for what he was supposed to do. He had containment. It was a little tricky. They tried to go at him a couple times to trick him, knowing that he's a freshman, and Walker was out of the game. He didn't fall for either one of those. Now, I mean, it may have been others that he messed up on. I don't know. I didn't see the whole thing, but twice I saw that he had big plays. And then – just like I thought that Georgia did a good job situationally bringing in Justin Fields, saying, okay, we need him on this offensive play. I thought they did the exact same thing with Adam Anderson and Channing Tindall. Say, look, come in. You're not going to have a confusing play. It's third and long. Just tie your ears back and go. And then who was the other one he asked about?
Adam Anderson.
Yeah, I mentioned him as well. Adam, I think, is playing himself into time. He's just not the biggest guy yet. He doesn't have the weight on him. But Kirby Smart has said, we've seen him in practice, Adam, you're the fastest guy out of that group. Now, imagine, that is an impressive group.
Long arms.
He comes off the ball like a rocket.
Like Ted Hendrickson.
And the thing about that kid is, Ab Harding says Adam Anderson has some serious get off on the ball. He's got that great first step.
That's elite.
But the thing that he does about as well as anybody that I've watched in the high school game, and I think this is really what propelled him up to that five-star status, that kid has such bend on the edge.
Yes.
When he comes around, he can contort his body in ways that most guys his size just can't even think about doing. And it's unbelievable to watch.
But the question is, when he's not coming in, obviously, to rush the passer, can he recognize the fact that he needs to drop off, stay to the outside, contain, maybe drop back into coverage? And that's the thing, is as Coach pointed out last week, and I didn't really notice it until some of our guys did the film breakdown, watching Georgia's even the linemen too, it is a confusing defense. Trying to watch what guys' assignments are and where they're supposed to go, and I think that's the biggest thing. And I think that if Georgia wanted to and they simplify the defense, those guys get a lot more playing time. But that's not going to happen. So they're getting better.
What they're doing, though, instead of trying to make all the calls with one group, they're making all the calls and situationally subbing. And where
that makes a good idea.
Hey, you got two or three assignments this week. This is what you're going to do. Get good at it and go in there and do it. But I wanted to ask you a question here because you're the recruiting guy, and something that's come up here about, you know, different personnel. When they had the Elite 11 out there at wherever they had it when Justin Fields was there mm-hmm. a couple years ago, and he was there at the same time with Lawrence from
– he was.
Who was rated the best passer in the country at that?
At that time, it was Lawrence. After the deal, the that's when
– I'm talking about when they did it at the deal.
At there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Justin Fields.
So – you don't win that unless you can throw the ball.
Right? Not at all. And that's,
you got 11 guys out there, the best passers of high school. And so anybody that's worried about this guy throwing the ball, tell Rick Neuhausel that he has thrown some passes. they said he hadn't thrown a pass. Hey, I'm telling you, and I'll go on record here. What's the date? November 6th. This guy is a fantastic passer. I'm not talking about good. He's a fantastic passer. And he will come on and be one in his future here. Just like Jake is a terrific passer. Oh, and very accurate. Does what he needs to do. We just haven't gotten to a situation. If he wasn't as good as he is, can you imagine why we would be playing him even at all with a quarterback like Jake Fromm?
Oh, absolutely.
So let's just chill on this that he – these people say he can't read the coverage. He can't, you know, that's why. When he did have a pass call the other day, they got on him quick. It wasn't that he tucked and ran the ball. So he is going to light somebody's butt up throwing the ball, and it won't be – it'll be all right with me if it's this week. So,
well, think about it. If you're on defense, you're a defensive coordinator, you see him get in there, you know that in a lot of those situations he's coming in to convert a third and two, or, you know, if he's running it – that gives you one additional blocker. You know, it makes sense to do it. But I'm still – when I see him get in there and I think it's a passing downer, I'm going to blitz the hell out of him. He's a freshman.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm going to make him hear those footsteps early. And he had a guy coming in, I think, off the right side, and he saw it, and he's like, well, hell, I got to do something.
We got a multitude of plays where he runs the outside on bootlegs and things. He did a great comeback route to Godwin in the one game where he faked up and ran the boot. So – hey, just let's don't make all these – I mean, hey, that's part of being on what you do and talk about, but let's don't make all these rational deals that, you know, hey, he's a runner. And, I mean, I'm glad we got both of them. The one good thing –
we'll never say he's just a runner.
One good thing he has done, and, you know, when you see some of these other guys around the country that he rates right as high as that making all these – plays and doing all that stuff, it's got to be frustrating. But he's also got a guy in front of him that's done a terrific job, so it's hard to.
No, he's only won two SEC East titles and gone 12-0 against the SEC East,
and he's 2-0 against Florida, which is
He's that Jake Fromm most overrated guy you've ever seen in your life. I mean, he's only, like you said, 2-0 against Florida, 12-0 against the SEC East.
You know, I asked Patrick.
I just want to see Jake. The only thing I would like to see, Jake, when he's throwing the ball over the middle, just step into the throws and lead the guys like he does to the outside. Yeah. You can't underthrow a guy like Holloman. You know, that was a tough deal the other day. We finally caught a play action, but you got to step into those. If he'll do that, and, you know, he's got a quad, he hurt his quad a little bit, but, hey, that's nitpicking. I'm telling you, boy, he called a good game at the line, did everything possible, and you know, who knows what would have happened if we'd have scored those other two when we had it down there. But when you go play a team that's ranked ninth in the nation, the biggest game in the history of their program, and you beat them like a tom-tom, your quarterback's playing good.
Yeah, I mentioned in the post game that I had to do by myself because somebody was dead. So I did the post game wrap up. I mentioned that he did a great job calling the plays.
Brian Murphy says, "Glad you're feeling better, Jake. We missed you on the post game show. Roddy needs you as a crutch."
This is true. This is true.
I told everybody main focus.
He
there,
carries me through the whole thing.
The main focus is to keep him from eating all the hot dogs they throw away after the game.
But the old you got to give me a little credit here. The old coach, knowing that you weren't there.
Yes,
I had to call up to Rodney and say, look, just remember some of these things if you can.
Yes.
And hopefully you pointed them out.
Well, when I pointed out the fact that Georgia was blocking well and 12 personnel, you know that's not me saying that.
No.
I'm just teasing. You're,
no,
you're
I did want to give you a little props there.
No, he didn't.
We just had Rip Van Winkle walk in here. I'm serious. This guy's got one of the best gray beards I've ever seen.
Could be Santa.
It's not Santa. This guy's Rip Van Winkle. He's been asleep for 2 days and 14 nights.
Quick shout out to Aaron Overhead Doors. If you need your garage door replaced or you're building a house, a lot of people are building now, that's the best place to go. Huge Georgia fans. Nobody more excited about Georgia drubbing Kentucky than the folks out at Aaron Overhead Doors. They do fantastic work, and they have a special for you, and I want everybody to know about this. If, you know, you're thinking garage doors are not cheap, and if you need if you're getting a new one, or if you just want to replace it, I mean, you look at the front of your house, 30% of it's taken up by this garage door. If you want to put in something that looks good instead of the ugly crap you have now, call Aaron Overhead Doors. They have 0% interest, 12-month financing right now. So you can actually get qualified to get an entire year of 0% interest on your door so you can finance it. You're like, hey, we're going to spend, you know, $1,000, $2,000, whatever on a new garage door, which most of them aren't, you know, the price is very wildly on what you're doing, or you need some sort of service. You can call Aaron Overhead Doors. Huge Georgia fans. They basically any place in North Georgia, they will go and take care of it. When people ask me what's their service area, it's gigantic. And if for some reason you are out of their service area, they'll tell you who to talk to. Great service guys. All their people that do the work for them are not contractors. They're not some guy they call up in a truck to go out to your house. You don't know them. These are people who work at Aaron Overhead Doors. They're full-time employees, not contractors. So you can be confident when someone shows up. They don't have 47 different shirts in there.
They're responsible to the company.
Yeah.
Their work is a reflection of the company.
Right.
You know that,
and
you can go to the
– And I don't want to get too much in their business, but I know for a fact that the guys at Aaron Overhead Doors take care of their employees. Those people have been there forever. So it's not like they're getting somebody new each week. And when I first met with him, he said, look, you take care of your employees, they'll take care of you. I haven't done that
yet. Sounds like I need to go work for Aaron Overhead Doors.
It would be a lot better job prospects. But quick shout-out to those guys, and I want to thank them for being big sponsors of the show and the website. They sponsored the Georgia 321 report that we do. We had that last Friday. We'll probably have another one this Friday before the Auburn game, so be sure to check that out at UGASports.com. If you're not a member, 27 cents a day, can't beat it.
All right, I'm going to rapid fire.
I want to say this before we get off here. On a sad note, one of the really great Bulldogs, a guy that's been so instrumental in the state Supreme Court, Harris Hines, was killed in a wreck on Saturday, and had a chance to talk to his son, Hap, who played for me. And it's just really a sad loss for all of us. So the guy was a big supporter of mine early on when I was here, even though his son was playing. But he helped me meet so many people around. He's always been around there. But the one thing that I talked about to Hap that I think that all the fans would really like to hear is how he feels about the way Kirby has embraced the older players in the program that – were before him, but also the ones that played for me and played for Ray and all that played with Kirby, and their input now being around the program. I think that's really, really critical in the fact that these guys, Hap went up there, Brandon Tolbert were up at the Kentucky game. But, you know, it's good to know that the guy in charge is somebody that played with you, and you know he's going to love Georgia just like you do. So I think Hap, even though we're all sad about his dad, I think that's a big plus to know that the players are so much behind Kirby, along with the fans. But it's good to have these guys in the community and coaching, like Hap's AD down at Noonan. Hey, you got to know what kind of contacts he has with other coaches, and he's talking Kirby up. So sad day for all of us Sunday, but let's
I saw a lot of people go on Facebook and talk about Judge Hines. I mean, just eloquent. People were
he walked the walk, man.
He did. I mean, the if any of us pass and we get 1/100th of that outpouring of emotion, you know, for a guy who lived his life the way Judge Hines did, then we will consider ourselves successful.
Exactly.
I mean, I did not see – I saw people that were just ripping their – I mean, their hearts were torn out to hear about that.
Yeah, he just retired about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's just heartbreaking. So, quite a tragedy.
So, here we go.
Nation.
All right, let's – yeah, we'll lighten things up here a little bit with a little bit of recruiting talk, which is, you know, as light as it gets in the world of football, I guess.
But, you know, we've been sick now. Don't take too many.
I know.
Don't get dizzy.
Well, we got early signing day coming up.
We do, and we're only –
gosh. 6 weeks? 7 weeks?
Yeah, about 6 weeks.
5 weeks?
Yeah,
jeez.
Very exciting. Very exciting. Hard to believe it's almost here.
Is Papo visiting this weekend?
Clint Walker.
Is Hazelwood coming this weekend?
Clint Walker wants to know, can Georgia grab another big-time D lineman in this class? You know, just looking around at the guys that they've got on targets on, I really don't see that happening. I think that they'll probably check back in on C.J. Clark, the NC State defensive tackle
Good
commit.
Call.
And Quayshon Fuller's another guy that they might look at. He's a Florida State commit. Obviously, there's some struggles down there. They're pretty interested. There's
well,
been some
wasn't he talking
interest.
About something about, like,
taking the jersey, yeah,
yeah.
Taking that 30 jersey from Tay Crowder. So, Quayshon Fuller, those are the two guys I'd probably keep an eye on. You know, as of right now, I don't know that I would jump up.
What about Pickering?
How about the guys we got committed? We're okay
Pickering,
with those?
Pickering's possible. I just don't see him getting out of the state of
okay.
Mississippi.
No,
the guys
no,
we got
fair.
Committed okay there?
Yeah, very much so.
No, you know, everyone's scared about Trayvon Walker taking visits to South Carolina.
We just got a question about that. Ab Harding says what to make of Trayvon's sudden visits to South Carolina and Florida. I'm not reading too much
he
into that.
He likes to Look, eat, man. He's going to get a trip. I mean,
the guy's a top recruit in the nation. He deserves the opportunity. He's taken full advantage of it. Good for him. Look, you don't need to be worried about Trayvon Walker being a Bulldog.
Of all the guys we got,
opinion.
He's solid.
He's very solid.
Solid as a rock. I mean,
I'd put him only second behind Dominic Blaylock.
Right.
And Blaylock's just the unmovable stone in that regard. Let's see. Ronnie Brown says, who are some of the recruits left on the board that are must-have? It's a tough situation to deign on anybody. I consider them a must-have. I think those two South Florida cornerbacks are probably the biggest focus right now. Kyir Elam and Tyreek Stevenson, both kind of in that Miami area. Georgia's had some good success there, obviously, with bringing in Tyson Campbell. They love the speed those guys bring. I think that that's who they're pushing for up to the end here.
Doesn't hurt that Miami's not doing well either.
Right. Florida not looking great either. You know, they've had some struggles. So both of those schools a little bit in flux.
I think you need a running back. Position
of
need.
That's true.
Having lost John Emery.
So you should probably go read the update I just put up yesterday.
Funny though.
On Kenny McIntosh out of Fort Lauderdale. Go check that one out.
That was good.
Gives some great insight into Georgia. Tells you kind of why he likes the Bulldogs. And I was really impressed. You know, I always ask South Florida guys when I talk to them, I say, you know, people assume that since you're from Florida, you don't leave Florida. That's just how it goes a lot of times. He said, they call me the blueprint. I'm the blueprint. I'm different. I like to get out. I like to see it. So
I
like their chances with him. Official visit coming up this weekend. That's a big one. He's
when
very
you're talking
aware.
To those Florida kids next time, without being negative recruiting, ask them this question. What was the record the last 2 weeks for Florida, Florida State, and Miami together?
Okay.
0-6.
First time that's ever happened.
So, I mean, just saying.
Tough times. Yeah, I mean, UCF once
Who's
again.
Who's won the SEC East the last 2 years?
UCF once again, the premier program in Florida, it appears. Chad Carson says, chances with that we get Hazelwood back. I'm gonna say I don't think it's a very good chance. I really don't. The further this goes on, the more I'm around it, the more I'm hearing. I just don't
feel. We'll have a story later in the week where we spoke to his mother and some quotes from him. So stay tuned for that, but because Georgia's not quit.
If I think Oklahoma makes, personally, for what he says he wants, I think Oklahoma makes the most sense of any option he's got. If he wants the ball in the air as much as he says he does, and that's his focus, then I think
they got two good receivers.
They do. They got some great
ones. I don't say he's burned a bridge, but when you're basically talking about Georgia and saying they need to throw the ball more, if Justin Fields were starting, that might change my commitments or change my status.
Coaches don't want to be pushed around
no,
like that.
No, you just. And again, it's not him dictating to Georgia. He was asked a question. He answered it honestly. I give Jaden all the credit in the world for not hemming and hawing.
Sure.
I mean, he was honest with us. He's always been honest with me. At least it feels that way. So I give him credit for saying that. But I'm just thinking that He wants the ball more than Georgia's going to put it in the air. Georgia's going to be a run-first team to set up the pass, and I just don't see.
What about Papo?
Yes, interesting, interesting.
That's, Papo's a lot more interesting.
Went visited Tennessee last week. Watch that big win they had.
Yeah, and it's Tennessee. Tennessee's a real interesting play for him, just because they've been very they've been involved for a very long time. Very familiar with Jeremy Pruitt.
4 years.
A close friend of Wanya Morris, who's already committed there. So they've had a chance to explore that together. Georgia, it seems, is kind of picking up some steam in that regard, as maybe looking at him as a star safety. And what's interesting about that is that reminds me of kind of the arc that Jaden Hunter's recruitment took over the course of time. He was a guy who was thought to be a linebacker, inside guy, and then over time, most people ended up thinking of him more as a star guy.
Look at the history of Kirby's recruiting, though, and we don't use the word flip around here, but based on last year, there were eight of them that were going somewhere else that came here in the month of November and December, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I like that.
And a lot of them are playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
which
saying.
Has to be an, which is an easy sell. I mean,
yeah.
That's a great thing to be able to sell to these guys. You can prove it right off the bat.
Well, when those kids come on the recruiting visits over the following weeks and they talk to the guys who were committed elsewhere and they say, what do you think of your first year at Georgia? Well, when I was playing against Kentucky, when I was playing against Florida, when I got in versus MTSU.
Right. As compared to, hey, I didn't get to make the trip.
It does matter.
For another school.
Last one here that I'm going to do, a lot of people asking about Nolan Smith. Will he stick with the Bulldogs? Look, he's a guy who's, you're in the throes of it right now. Everybody wants to create intrigue and give themselves some excitement. He's going to get around and visit. I mean, everybody wants
to. He told us that day one.
It's understood, and Georgia knows that.
Yeah.
Who would you compare him to? Like, who does he look like that all the fans would know?
I personally think that he's a guy. I think he's a guy who's a more developed out of high school version of DeAndre Walker. I think he's a more game ready version of DeAndre Walker.
Just the way he tested off the charts for a guy his size. I've not seen anything like that.
Yeah,
I've been doing this a long time.
You're right.
I mean, I remember Reuben Foster putting up some crazy numbers, just for strength and power. But when you add the speed that he has for a guy his size and the power, I cannot recall a guy who put up those numbers.
Yeah,
put him beside Tavon Walker.
Yeah, and people are asking, do you keep him? Look, I think the Georgia's been his dream school since he was in ninth grade. I remember talking to him about it. We have an interview, in fact, if you go look on his page somewhere from when he was in ninth grade, and we talked about it. He's been committed for a long time. He's got the deepest relationships with them. He's got deep relationships on the team. And in the end
– and he's recruiting for them. Don't forget that.
And in the end, relationships went out more often than not in the recruiting
Good
world.
Good point. I want to give you some love about – because I used to hate – recruiting guys, calling up people and talking all that when I was a coach because, so-and-so said this. But the one thing that you got that I don't know these other guys, these kids know that you're not going to hang them out to dry, and you really do a good job of building some trust with them. Because wait a minute, he works for us. Man.
I know, but then I'll have to pay him more.
Hey, you pay peanuts, you got to pay. So let me just tell you this, though. I think it's great that you can, as hard as it is to talk to these guys, and so many people trying to bam on them, the fact that you can get that kind of input for them. And I wouldn't tell you that if I didn't. I think it's great that our fans that are on this site get to hear and read about what these guys are really thinking, because they're not going to BS you on that. And you don't really just put out clickbait. I think you put out good stuff, man.
I really appreciate that, Coach. Thank you.
Speaking of people who do a fantastic job, I'm going to give cut out here, I want to give a quick shout-out to Academia Brewing Company. This Saturday, 7 o'clock, if you're not in the stadium, where it's going to be, from what I understand, it's going to be pretty cold out there.
Football weather, man.
Yeah, football weather. But some fans don't want to do it. If you want to sit in the warm with the best beer you can get in Athens, some of the best food that you'll find in Athens, swing by Academia Brewing Company. It's out there close to the Mall of Georgia. Not Mall of Georgia, the Georgia Square Mall. Fantastic place to watch a game. They have two giant screens up. If you are an alumnus of the University of Georgia, you can be part of the UGA alumni group out there. You get a reserved seat. They have two big screens. They're watching the games.
Special pint glass for you.
Special pint glasses for you. I mean,
yeah,
the They've got it on lock out there. They have these fantastic three meat sandwiches that you can get. I mean, they have a chef out there. It's not just a place where you go in and, hey, you know what? Their beer menu changes all the time, and they have an actual chef who's always trying to do new things. He's creating new stuff all the time out there.
He's quite good.
He's a huge Georgia fan. The place was founded by Georgia fans, I mean, Georgia alums and graduates. So if you get a chance, swing out by Academia Brewing Company. You will not have a better Bulldog watching experience and going anywhere besides that place.
All right. We skipped this last week, but I want to make sure we get it. Mouthwatering player of the week this week against the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, last week I had DeAndre Swift, and you didn't even say anything.
No, sure you did.
Yeah, my mouthwatering guy this week, I think it's going to be Tyson Campbell. I think they're going to go after him, and he's going to make some big plays in this game.
There you go, Roddy.
I'm going to go Tyler Clark.
Okay, all right. Tyler Clark, he's probably due up for one.
I think he's going to get in there. I'm going to give him 2 sacks.
I'm going to say that we see a lot more Channing Tindall this week. I think that he earned himself some playing time with that sack last week. That's a guy with too much athleticism to keep off the field for too long. If it's not next week, it'll be soon. I promise you, before the end of the season, I bet you.
All right.
So
bold words.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, that's all the time we have for this week. Big shout out to Athens Ford, Aaron Overhead Doors, Your Pie, Academia Brewing Company, Cable East. Thanks, Robert Wall, for sponsoring the show. We know we don't do anything for you, but you do wonders for us, and we do appreciate it. And of course, 365 Game Day, 11 Live Sports. Share this podcast, please. And of course, Champions here on Baxter. Take care. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.